In my last essay, we unpacked two-step flow theory, the decay of clarity, a concept born in the 1940s, which revealed how information doesn't directly influence the masses but filters, first through self-proclaimed opinion leaders who regurgitate and pass it along. In today's age of influencers, podcasters, and thought leaders, this phenomenon has metastasized. Original thought has been replaced by shoddy car salesperson mentality, replaced by shallow echo chambers where ideas are regurgitated, not questioned, and often inaccurate. People cling to out-of-context soundbites and follow trends, mimicking the opinions of those they admire without ever stopping to ask, "Does this even make sense?" The result? A fax machine effect. The original message distorted beyond recognition as each copy is passed through the same fax machine, again and again to the point it cannot even be called an imitation of reality. In this deep dive, quasi-sequel to trickle-down influence, we'll explore how this shift has fundamentally changed the way we label and define the very concepts we live by. Self-image, relationships, energy and vibes, people in leadership roles, social media's outlook on reality, news and politics, the philosophy of lying to oneself, and even black hole logic as it relates to nihilism and existentialism. Dancing with the absurd. The musings on meaninglessness, masks, and the relentless march of time. Life is, at its core, an absurd comedy, an elaborate joke whose punchline remains stubbornly blurry. And yet, here we are, desperately trying to decipher its meaning. We cling to relationships, careers, beliefs, and labels as if they might redeem the madness of it all. Spoiler alert, they don't and won't. Take relationships, for instance. A good one should make you feel loved, protected, and free. Key ingredients for the human experience. But how often do we find ourselves knotted in something far from that ideal? Instead of freedom, there's codependency. Instead of love, an exchange of obligations. Instead of protection, an emotional minefield. Yet we persist, convincing ourselves that one time in many this person is actually good to you, that a shared Netflix account is enough to justify the charade. It's not. Break up. Immediately. Save your coffee budget and your sanity. A relationship is supposed to make you feel loved, protected, and free. If you do not feel these things in your relationship, break up with them immediately. Next to codependency, this is probably the number two main reason why I am single and haven't thought about it differently in over a decade. No amount of purchased coffees will change that till I can see it for myself. Words with no intention is just as meaningless and damaging than lies are. Let that sink in for a minute or two. But let's talk about labels because, boy, do we love those. They're the cliff notes of definition, the shorthand for understanding a thing, or pretending to. Yet how often does the definition match the reality? We call society civilized despite its starvation for systemic decay and casual cruelty. We slap words like progress on actions that stagnate or regress, go backward. A thing is what we label it until the mask slips and reveals its true, ugly face. That's the absurdity of it. The process doesn't matter, right? Wrong. How we arrive at our definitions is everything. Otherwise, we're just spinning tails to distract ourselves from the gaping void beneath. Speaking of masks, have you noticed how people wear them like armor? We mirror each other, perform authenticity dances, and play the roles expected of us. But anger peels that mask off faster than that smile demon at the end of the first smile movie. When someone's mad, you see the real them. And trust me, it's rarely a pretty sight. It's like staring into a human black hole, a singularity of resentment, narcissistic sociopathy, and self-deception. You can spot them easily, always angry, always playing the victim, always blaming someone else for their garbage life, never introspective, never reflecting. They'll drain you of energy, of hope, of patience, of house and home and your bank account. If they're not actively draining you, they're just waiting for the right moment to flip the switch and siphon what's left. Your gut screams to run, your brain tries to reason, and your heart will lie to you because that one time it felt good from this person's actions. Listen to your gut, not your heart, because your heart will trick your brain. It cannot trick your gut. You just ignored it. If it jiggles, it's fat, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Labels are important. They are definitions for whatever a thing or this thing is. It is its attributes. However, when the definition of the label doesn't actually match up to what the thing is and or represents is when delusion creeps into it. Beware of such things. We live in a culture where a thing is a thing till it is not. How we got there is unimportant. Oh, but it actually is, it actually is. It is important when said process has no logical basis for existence other than a feeling, which is a belief, which is an opinion. While truth and facts can be generated in this way, it is not always, nor even most of the time, or even some of the time. This desire isn't to evolve or expand in any way. It is to control, devolve, and keep in a box the origins and original state of the concept. So does this statement say the hard truths? It sure does. It can also motivate, but if it triggers, we should ask why that is. You cannot blanket statement a thing into conception. It must be labeled, and that label must have a logical definition for it to take hold. Energy. The universe's currency. Mine's literal currency of the universe, and I've learned to guard it fiercely. Most people are counterfeit, a lesson I've learned from hanging around the wrong crowds. You can and will lose parts of yourself. It's a bleak equation, but it's also liberating. Cut them off. Be ruthless about that. The fewer black holes in your orbit, the better. Anger can bring out both the absolute truth of who a person is, and those brief moments can undo a lifetime of work and possibly a lifetime of lying to oneself. I have seen this firsthand. I have also experienced it to such a level. Above all else, I do my very best to stay away from situations and people that bring that out of me. My personal ability when I lash out in this type of anger can make one believe I am a personification of Satan itself. I am not that bad a human being when compared to most that have been a victim of the system of one's emotional and mental turmoil. You know what's hilarious? The way people act like relationships are some mystical bond when really it's just a glorified energy exchange. Surround yourself with the wrong people, and suddenly you're broke. Emotionally, mentally, physically. The modern women that complain why they are single should really pay attention to deep dives like this. The most unattractive thing I see in women is codependency. The big red flag? I ever tell you all how much I hate the color red outside the aesthetic? A color that looks great, but always seems to represent something that a person or a group of people will find something negative about. How you feel after hanging out with them. Do you feel lighter, happy, maybe even inspired? Cool, they're probably not terrible. Do you feel drained, stressed, like you need a nap and a stiff drink just to recover? Yeah, they're bad news. And you know your gut is screaming it before your brain catches up. Listen to it. Honestly, my circle's tiny for a reason. Less drama, less noise. Less emotional vampires. Just people I know, I can trust to have my back, and I do the same for them. If it's not mutual support, it's not worth my time and my universal currency. Nova. Something new. Of course, the absurdity extends beyond personal relationships. Our broader systems and political affiliations are just as flawed, just as blind to their own contradictions. People tend to associate and/or glorify hard work, duty and service with a positive outcome. That also just isn't real or true. Tell that to the 30-year habitual smoker who gets lung cancer and dies a horrible death. Now, do they deserve this horrible death? No, of course not. No one actually deserves this. However, they earned it. They did the hard work. They did their duty as a loyal smoker. They served blindly to the tobacco companies to get there, though. Tell that to the minimum wage workers drowning in debt and can't pay their rent. Tell that to medically ill or injured patients who cannot even get their insurance companies that they pay out each month to keep their mandate to its customer base, us. The truth is that effort doesn't always yield positive reward. It just creates momentum, and not all momentum leads uphill. Momentum doesn't have feelings. It's just a thing we have a misunderstood relationship with, and that thing does not care whether you believe it is real or not. Logic simply does not care. It's logic. It makes sense whether you want it to or not. It just is. 1 plus 1 does not equal 3. And yet, we label ourselves a civilized society. We wear it like a badge of honor while shoving our collective heads in the sand. Is it any wonder that people snap under the weight of this hypocrisy? Violence is never justifiable, but it's often understandable. That's the uncomfortable truth. We're a species teetering on the edge of chaos, pretending that prayer will keep the facade of civility holding on. It won't. Not forever. People of today really do not understand dimensional thinking or appreciate the concept of infinity in relation to finite time, like a human lifespan. They do not understand it, nor do they respect it. On December 4, 2024, United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson was stalked, shot, and killed in a shocking act of violence outside the New York Hilton Midtown Hotel. The alleged shooter, Luigi Mangione, was captured shortly after and found to have penned a manifesto rallying against the injustices of the healthcare system, an industry he accused of thriving on greed at the expense of human lives. While the act itself was horrifying, it illuminated an uncomfortable truth. Society's lie of civility is wearing thin, and the systems we rely on to define fairness and justice are unraveling. People are reaching a breaking point, and the cracks are showing not just in the extreme actions of individuals, but in the very fabric of how we function as a collective. The question isn't just what led to this specific tragedy. It's how we, as a society, got here in the first place. What does it mean to be civilized when the very systems we champion often push people to the brink? I am like some, or even most of you, in some medical way or another. I have been denied twice for Social Security by people who literally have no real understanding with people with real disabilities, how it affects their ability to gain jobs they can do, feel comfortable doing, and do not add additional stresses upon that could adversely affect their disabilities. I am sorry this happened to this person. However, I understand it. I usually would have a little more real human compassion and/or value with violence in general, but when I look at what this one guy represents, I am surprised how rare this actually happens. Granted, this one person may or may not be directly responsible. However, he is the captain of the ship, and the captain of a ship assumes all responsibilities of the people and policies they govern over. How many people under this CEO work very hard at finding some sort of logical loophole in their contracts to keep the customer base, us, paying their monthly fees while denying as many claims as possible? That's right. Instead of hiring people to find out whether or not the claim is legitimate, they hire people with the core mission to find a way to deny these people. Sounds like that is exactly what America needs and what the American people pay for. No. We pay insurance to handle our messes when they happen. We paid into the system, and when we need the system to keep their mandate, they find some way to deny all accountability. Is it really a surprise someone, anyone, one or more would not see this for what it is and then take action about it? Regardless, if we look at the act of murder as right or wrong is irrelevant. The question is, how did we get here to begin with? Not whether the act taken and the reason for the action of a gunshot to the back of the head is justifiable or not. I say, what did you think was going to happen? Did anyone, anywhere really think this wasn't going to happen, eventually? If it were I in a situation where I ran a billion-dollar company that gains most of its profits off the misery of others, I'd be really scared. I'd be scared for others like this, their families. Shit, their kids. If the government doesn't lay down hard punishments for these actions, more people are going to do this. I have seen both the left and right-sided media saying that this isn't how civilized humanity behaves. Oh, do they have this half-assed backwards, very misled idea of where we are right now? I can debate this one all day and night. This is what they do, though. They will get deep on a subject contextually when it benefits them, but when it shatters their control, they apply their one-size-fits-all approach and hide behind that. Plain and simple, we do not live in a civilized society. We say we do. We label it as such. But in actual practice, we are one step away from the edge of the singularity. A place where once you are in it, you can never escape it. Humans as a whole are almost at the edge of that point. After that, it is a slow death till all of humanity is gone. As I have said, I have seen both the left and right-sided news media doing this, but it was Fox News putting the political spin on this where they shouldn't have. They immediately pointed at the left media for glorifying this, but they really weren't. They were trying to explain why it is understandable while not acceptable, but understandable. Because the left media is so left-biased, their spin on everything tends to make the right-sided news media react to it. I just didn't agree that the right looked at the left and pointed fingers when both sides of the news and the people that follow them said virtually the same thing but in different rhetoric, which does not require facts or truth in its wording to be labeled as rhetoric. People of all makes, models, and yes, political affiliations are saying good riddance. While I do not support acts of violence like this, I do understand it. One can understand something and even agree to an extent and not be for the murdering of CEOs who represent pain and misery for many Americans. I don't just pick on the left. Here is a clear virtue signal from the right media, probably and mostly Fox News. I really hate when both sides of the media paint this trash up for all of us to consume and then turn around and all those alleged facts, news, being considered informed. Trash. I feel the same about the United Healthcare CEO. He may not have deserved what happened to him, but damn it, he did the work to get there. If one makes their living off the backs of others, and that work causes massive amounts of pain and suffering to its own customer base, is it really a surprise this happened? I am surprised it hasn't happened. I don't know, daily. It would not be a surprise that terminally ill people out there frustrated, fantasizing about plotting, and now the media just gave a pass for others to do this. Granted, they are not saying it directly. The left is playing the hero card while the right is disgusted by anything the left does or says, which is exactly what the left did for the last decade to the right. This is why I am cynical about this stuff. It is a hideous fashion show in and of itself. It isn't even self-aware enough to notice what it is doing. Or maybe it is. So while I do not directly think it is cool to make waves like this, it isn't at all a surprise either. It's understood. Just people do not want to have uncomfortable conversations about where we are as a society and why these things happen. I have found over time with my interactions with people with money is they lack situational awareness about the implications of what they represent. When you're the captain of a ship, you're responsible for everything that happens on it, good or bad. This includes the actions of the crew because their behavior reflects directly on you as the leader. Now apply that to big business, especially tech, pharma, and the media. That concept always stuck with me. I am a firm believer of black hole logic, that if you get too close to the singularity no matter what you do, you are getting sucked into it. Situations, feelings, and even people can be like that too. They are black holes. If you happen to notice them, the best you can do for yourself is ignore them. Don't even let them know you noticed them or their actions. Nothing. They can grab onto anything, and once close enough, the hole does its thing. Consumes. If you know a person, situation, or have feelings like this and you are close to them, you will probably never be able to do enough for them, and that is the point. Black holes disallow that functionality by default, and nothing natural can change that as black holes are not natural within our reality to begin with. That is why reality itself vanishes in and around black holes as we know it. What can you do that will actually defy those odds? The opinions of the minorities tends to get ignored because the message is usually nonsensical and doesn't make a lot of common sense to the majority. The majority doesn't understand because the message is to bring minority sentiment up and majority sentiment down. It doesn't benefit the majority. Now couple that with the volume being extremely loud, and what do you have? A very loud, nonsensical opinion that only favors the very few, takes from the very many, which is the backbone, and creates even more chaos because the underqualified minority cannot qualify to be part of the majority. So they bring the standards of what the majority is down to fit in the minority. That is why their opinion doesn't matter. Instead of going back and reevaluating, reorganizing their opinion to make sense to the larger majority, they just double down and get louder, using the same nonsensical ideas they had before. Except now they are screaming it. Getting angry and screaming your very poorly thought out idea that the majority finds poorly thought out does not make the idea any more important, right, accurate, or correct. It is exactly what it is. A very poorly thought out idea. Now with the volume turned up so loud one cannot even hear the message. They just want it to stop. Their opinion never mattered, and it matters even less now. Before it was just a loud scream, and now it's a quiet whisper due to there literally not being enough of them since social media pulled the plug on the mass delusion that is modern-day woke, liberal, progressivism. Volume has never been, nor will it ever be, a measure of quality, and it's always been about quality over quantity. They support murderers because they themselves are the murderers. They do support shit, and it's not from a bull. They may be disguised as thinking people. Their version of thinking can only be defined as pseudo-intellect, where the word pseudo literally means made up. Even the punk rock movement of the late 1970s, all of the 1980s, and in a different way, the 1990s, isn't even punk rock anymore. It's a memory of a time when being loud and noisy worked to gain the attention of those that did not understand 2 to 3 generations of teenagers that later became adults and learned the system they hated was fake the whole time, but becomes real, for a price if and when they sell out to the corporate punk of today's society. The punk of today is Jimmy Kimmel, a corporate troll that says they are punk, but really just a talking head of bullshit that's paid and taken care of by the very people punk was supposed to hate. So yeah, those people that literally creep into some of your all's direct messages, belittling you in the DMs, is because they do not want others to know of how much a lazy piece of shit human they really are. People who do things in shadows are cowards. If they really believe what they believe about you, or the winning side of this single snake with 2 heads facing each other would not be afraid to announce that on the public side of the platform. No, they do it in private, because they do not want the masses to know who they are, how petty they are, and what they're really about. Only weak losers want to dictate to others from the back. They cannot lead from the back. You have to be in the front. And to get to the front, you have to endure a lot of crap from extremely superficial and weak-minded narcissistic sociopathic people that actually hate themselves more than they hate you. Something about people who attempt to lead from the back with rhetoric, which is just fancy talk to make things that do not add up, add up. Rhetoric does not require facts in its words to be true or real, just that phrases sound like they are true or real. One cannot lead from the back, because leadership requires setting the direction and being out front to guide others. If one or many are always behind, they can't inspire, make quick decisions, or effectively address challenges as they arise. Leadership is about being visible and proactive, not passive or hidden. Most people doing things in the shadows are shady, up to no good, want to cheat you, and you not know it is them. I do not know what is more cowardice than that. So, taking a little bully jab here, and they're disguising it as a joke, is someone working, dealing in the shadows. One cannot explain logic, common sense, or even critical thinking to others that live in the shadows. They have their own goals of being miserable, and their only motivation is to make you and others not like them, just as miserable as they are, if not more. Above all, don't lie to yourself. The man who lies to himself and listens to his own lie comes to such a pass that he cannot distinguish the truth within him or around him, and so loses all respect for himself and for others. And having no respect, he ceases to love, and in order to occupy and distract himself without love, he gives way to passions and coarse pleasures, and sinks to bestiality in his vices, all from continual lying to other men and to himself. The man who lies to himself can be more easily offended than anyone. You know it is sometimes very pleasant to take offense, isn't it? A man may know that nobody has insulted him, but that he has invented the insult for himself, has lied and exaggerated to make it picturesque, has caught at a word and made a mountain out of a molehill. He knows that himself, yet he will be the first to take offense and will revel in his resentment till he feels great pleasure in it, and so pass to genuine vindictiveness. Fyodor Dostoevsky's novel, The Brothers Karamazov. In this passage, the character Father Zossima advises against self-deception, emphasizing that lying to oneself leads to an inability to distinguish truth, resulting in a loss of self-respect and the capacity to love. This self-deception can cause individuals to take offense easily, even inventing insults, leading to genuine hostility. What's left then? Why keep going when every step feels like walking a treadmill pointed toward entropy? Because even in the absurdity, there are moments, tiny, fleeting sparks of meaning. A shared laugh, a kind gesture, perhaps the best sex you ever had, and from the least person you expected it from and where. A rare connection that doesn't drain but fills. These moments matter, even if they're doomed to decay. So, what's the point? Maybe there isn't one. Or maybe the point is simply to keep dancing with the absurd, to find joy in the futility, meaning in the nonsense, and connection in the chaos. It's not much, but it's enough. And if it's not, well, at least it's honest. Above all, don't lie to yourself. Reality is already cruel enough without the weight of self-deception. In the end, we're all just cosmic dust swirling in the vast absurdity of the universe. But for a brief moment, we're here. So why not laugh at the joke, even if we don't understand the punchline? For the love of sanity, start loving yourself more. Then I glanced at the ring on my finger. The snake that eats its own tail, forever and ever. I know where I came from, but where did all you zombies come from? Robert A. Heinlein. All you zombies. Absurdus definimus. Latin for we define absurdity. By David Angelo Minio. January 22, 2025. 4,397 words.